You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Hello, Teddy.
Hello. How are you today?
Wonderful. We got another special guest, recurring guest, tri-host, co-host, co-founder of Zipline Logistics, Andrew Lynch. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Welcome back.
So glad to be here.
We're talking Q4 market update. We're excited to talk about it. Let's just dive right in. Q4, busy season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the time, typically, right? Normally, you'd see, you know, sort of peak happening on, especially at this time of Q4 of retail season, and people starting to prep for all that holiday shopping and, you know, families buying snacks and sodas and things for tailgate and, you know, football Saturdays and Sundays. So yeah, it should be humming out there.
Should be is a great call out. What appears to have happened is that some of the inventories were pulled in, which means that the stuff's already here. So the ocean freight continues to drop. We'll see what happens on that import side of things, right?
Yeah.
If that really starts humming again into early October, late October, before the holidays.
You sort of get to watch this lag happening between what, like, the economic survey data says and what the economic activity looks like. I think we're, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm 45. I don't know that in my lifetime, or at least in my time of being, like, aware of economic surveys versus indicators, that I've ever seen anything like this, where, like, it's, you just are on this sort of this, you know, what feels like sort of this wavelength where,
yeah,
you know, month over month, it's like the consumer is feeling really down about inflation, or they're down about their capacity to spend. So then the next month you see that spending is a little bit lower. And then this month you see that, hey, the consumer sentiment is really high and consumers feel really good. And I think it's like this, you know, maybe horrible reflection of the news cycle and all the uncertainty out there. But I do think maybe for the first time in like kind of my lifetime of awareness, I'm seeing it really play out where, you know, in May you hear that consumer sentiment is low, and then in like June and July, sure enough, like the consumer didn't really perform as well as you expect them to. And I think that, you know, the last I saw that there was, you know, like kind of pretty positive consumer sentiment surveys. And what I would like to think is that that's going to translate into, you know, better consumer activity in hopefully October and November. But, I think it's just really interesting to be sort of watching how much the mindset, as opposed to the like actual economic data or results, is affecting kind of all of our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's we're going to talk about some hot topics heading into Q4. And what's, in my mind, a good trigger for that consumer sentiment is our first hot topic, which is tariffs, right? Because of the up and down nature, the on-off nature of those, that has triggered that wave, right? And so when you have uncertainty, what we've seen, and I know we talked about this on our Q3 update, was that because of uncertainty, that means either most likely people are just going to stop doing everything, right? We're just going to wait it out and see what happens. And so that, you know, triggers lower activity in general.
Yeah.
Or a big push, like we just mentioned with the inventory. All right, the tariffs are going to go into effect on August 9th. So let's get everything, rush it in, you know, in July or early August before we get hit with the number. And then, as we've seen, not a lot of activity post August 9th, right?
Yeah.
And the news that's come out recently is that there's going to be another legal discussion.
Yeah.
Decision. I don't even know if that's the right word, but
something back and forth. Yeah.
I think that tariffs is some of it. But the last like 5 years before September even happens, there are Halloween decorations in every single store. So we're having more imports coming in more, you know, shipments going into stores around July to prep that backstock so people can then actually go and stock the store shelves, because also there's a labor shortage everywhere. It's not just drivers, it's everywhere. So you have to have those things prepped in advance. So I think the tariffs is some of it, but I think some of it is just the way consumer habits have created the need to have everything well before it happens.
Yeah.
So when right before Halloween, all the Halloween decorations will be gone and it will be filled with Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we're working on that too. I still think that we're going to see some changes in the imports in October, like we always do, some increases. But I think a lot of this always ties up really, really well with the market, with the changes. When consumers get stressed out, they tend to spend more.
Yeah.
Instead of alcohol, they're going for the, you know, healthier beverages, you know, like the hop waters that kind of help relax you. You're going to buy more of those. I know I do. When school starts, I need something. It's stressful. Yeah. It's a lot. When school starts,
a little breeze, perhaps.
Yes, exactly.
But breeze, why not?
Exactly. When school starts, the market's also shifting produce going to the West Coast and rates are changing and everyone starts panicking a little bit more. So I think all of these things line up really, really well. But, you know, we have the head down mentality and we're going to blame what's on the news. And the news is talking about what is selling, which is this. So
yeah.
That's top of mind. But I do think it's more of that when it comes to the market. And if you are only looking at the headlines, you're going to miss your opportunities for growth and you're going to miss your opportunities of, you know, like how to actually optimize things.
So yeah.
I think it's a little, I mean, I know I just went on a bull
right
there.
That's, but
I think
well
it's
said,
a little bit more than just.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I do think that that's one of those things that listeners can see in real life, right? Like, are my store shelves currently stocked with a holiday that's 8 weeks away?
Yeah.
By the way, other hot topic, got a neighbor that already had his Halloween decorations up on Saturday.
We do too. Yeah.
I was not pleased to see that.
I'm not okay
with that. It's not, you know, Christmas already creeps into everything. Like, let's not do Halloween creep too.
2 full months of Halloween?
Get out of here, right? It's too much. Got a skeleton coming out of your mulch and
be a Wiccan
on Labor Day?
Yeah. Well, is it one of those things that it takes like 7 days to set up, so they need to let it be there for like,
no, a it was a stupid skeleton scrawling out of their mulch. It's fair. I don't like it.
That's basic. Guys, that's basic stuff.
That is basic stuff. Yeah. I mean, at least show me a, you know, something, at least make it
spring blow up.
Get something spring loaded.
You need a blow up.
And blow up. That's just too early for blow ups.
Crazy.
God, what are you doing?
I don't know.
We should just get a Santa blow up and put it up.
Right.
Yeah, here we are. This is what we're doing.
Anyways, check the show notes for the tariff tracker. That's really good info for our folks who want to dive into it. One of Teddy's favorite topics, which is part of, it's happening right now, but it extends into Q4. Hurricane season.
Hurricane season.
Yeah, yep. Loves hurricanes.
Yeah.
I do. There was a hurricane named after me. There was a Hurricane Teddy. And it dissipated in the ocean. So I'm glad nothing happened, but then at the same time, I'm kind of sad.
It's every day on the floor, am I right?
Hurricane Teddy. Yeah, I'll tell you, Hurricane Andrew destroyed Florida when I was
kidding. Yeah, that was early 90s. Yikes.
It was a big one. Yeah, I took a lot of pride in that.
So I don't actually like destruction. The reason that I like hurricane season about these things is because it's a really great reminder when those issues happen about how it is so simple just to stay ahead of issues and how to prepare yourself correctly. So when nothing happens, when there's just tropical storms and, you know, it's just normal weather, you are actually more profitable. You are more in check with your network, with your supply chain, and things are a little bit easier. It's almost just like a stagnant reminder of this is coming up. Are you prepared? If you get prepared, you're good, no matter what happens. If you're not prepared, chances are you're going to have issues, even if there is no hurricane.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think about how hurricane season is going to go this year? Right? I mean, there's always, I think, you know, throughout my career, I have these sort of touchstone moments, you know, of market shifts, you know, all the way starting kind of back in 2001, where like, mm-hmm. a hurricane happens and, you know, when you're young in your career, you don't really understand the whys or the whats, but like, you know, that like, oh man, like it just got harder to move freight, or, oh man, like, why is this affecting my capacity in Nebraska?
Yeah.
There are no hurricanes there. Right. And then obviously like, as you mature, you start to understand, you know, how interconnected all this stuff is. But, you know, to me, I think, and, you know, I bet if we went, you know, to like this podcast last year, we probably would have been like, hey, this could be like the triggering season for a market turnaround.
Yep.
Right? Because in our past lives, it was, right? It was like, know, this hurricane would happen, it would take a significant amount of capacity out of service, and then it would also drive up demand inbound to those areas where the hurricane was, and then that cycle would sort of continue. And what I think we keep on seeing this year is that, you know, black swan or not, or whether it's, you know, lining up a DOT week with Memorial Day,
right?
Or like a break week, you know, right on top of 4th of July, and you expect to see these things create longer lasting changes in the marketplace, and they just don't.
Right.
And I, you know, what I think I'm wondering out loud right now is, you know, even if we have, you know, a big hurricane season, even if we have a 2017, you know, kind of double whammy,
mm-hmm.
will it really, you know, change anything for more than a couple of weeks? I think that we're so oversupplied and we're so down, you know, from a demand perspective against where we should be from a 5-year trend line. You know, it's hard to see, you know, what kind of like individual event,
yeah,
individual season could really set it off.
It's a great call out. Put some data behind that. Is it 35,000 motor carrier authorities above March of 2020?
35%.
Okay, even more.
I think it was 85,000.
All right. It's a lot.
It's a ton.
It's a ton over, you know, a lot of entries into the marketplace in early 2020, early pandemic, and through 2022, and not a lot exiting. So an oversupply of drivers and carriers, and not a lot of volume. Volumes are 2019 levels, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, right on.
So we've...
For our new listeners, what is that in comparison right now? I mean, like what 2019 volumes compared to high volume, what would that be?
We're going to have to throw that in the show notes. I don't know what it'd be a tonnage number.
Tonnage number.
Yeah. There's less freight moving now compared to 2020, 21, and 22.
Yeah.
Even last year. One of the things I've been talking about lately is emotions versus data. So I agree, there's going to be some disruption, those weather events or natural disasters. You know, shout out to all the truck drivers in particular who are navigating those difficult areas and the disruption to their lives, right? I can't imagine what it would be like if you're like, yeah, I run the I-95 corridor and then there's an event and it's like, cool, now you're going to New Mexico. And like totally different experience, yeah. Right?
By the way, the number's 89,000 more carriers with operating authority than there was in March of 2020,
okay.
35%.
So that's a lot. But yes, it's going to disrupt things for a couple weeks. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to be prepared, like Teddy mentioned, and, you know, navigate those changes, whether that's a route difference in where you're going, right? We saw that in our North Carolina incident last year. That was last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, all the stuff that we harp on consistently, communication, planning ahead, you know, asking questions, picking up the phone, calling people, talking to them, figuring out what's the best way to navigate it, and then communicating that to our customers clearly and effectively. And most importantly, keeping people out of harm's way, right? And I think that's super important.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it takes a certain level of partnership to be willing to be the voice of like what's not possible. You know, like I think this industry, like for better or for worse, I mean, mostly for better, you know, really has like a we're going to get it done. I don't care what you're out to get it done, right? And like that's cool. Until you're asking someone to like drive a truckload of potato chips into a disaster area.
Right.
And it's like, well, hey, maybe we can calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't need to send potato chips. If it's bottled water, yeah, get that moving. But like, let's just, you know, let's like just level set on how important it is that, you know, Save-A-Lot in Jacksonville gets their pretzels today.
It's just freight at the end of the day.
Yeah, most of the time.
It's super
most
important.
Of the time. And it's very important to obviously to everyone, to all of us, right? Like it's somebody's job, it's somebody's livelihood, it's somebody's you know, revenue, it's somebody's business.
Safety first.
But yeah, I mean, and look, I think that's for the best for everyone, because again, at the end of the day, there are times when it's just not possible or doesn't make any sense to send a truck.
The equipment agrees.
AI agrees.
Yeah, the machine says I'm right, so I am.
I think you bring up a great point with that, and I'm just going to keep going with it. That's okay. But I think that it's really important with that to note that there's differences with the retailers as well from a couple years ago. So we talk about hurricanes in 2017, and we talk about hurricanes now. On all of the portals, you have an option to add weather or natural disaster as a delay. And that allows vendors to fight back any charges or get a little bit more leniency. And so when you're saying this is someone's revenue, it helps with that. There's, you know, a little bit more in place to help with those things, with those delays, with those issues, even if it's something like flooding in an area because of a tropical storm. So I think that that helps with those scenarios. What I get concerned about the changes happening is similar to what we saw with UNFI last quarter, where they had a cyber attack, they were down. If warehouses or DCs go down for any reason, then you have to find a new place to get your product into to get to Whole Foods. Otherwise, you're not going to make your sales numbers. And that's nothing really related to the hurricane, but related to how things are shipping, how things are moving. And I think that's where the mindset needs to go. It's not, oh, a hurricane's happening. How do I get a truck there? How do I make sure my network is distributed out correctly? Like we talk about growing within one retailer at a time, not trying to be one bag of your product on every single shelf.
Yeah.
So I think that that's the part that people need to switch into thinking about, not the disaster, the distribution, and their, you know, product growth.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I mean, appropriate expectations. I mean, I think in my career and in my life, like almost all of the conflict I've had has come from just misaligned expectations.
Yeah.
Right. And most of the time it's because they're unclearly communicated. And so I think, you know, whether you're someone making pretzels and selling them to Save a Lot in Jacksonville, or you're, you know, making soda or making, you know, hospital beds, whatever, like what's important to your business,
right,
and your relationships with your customers is that you're setting really clear expectations about how you're going to be capable of responding to a specific, you know, market crisis or market change. And us as facilitators of those suppliers, like our job is to be the clearest communicators possible to them on what's feasible, what makes sense for their business. So yeah, I'll get you a truck to bring pretzels into Jacksonville, Florida during a hurricane. It's going to cost you more than those pretzels are worth.
Is that?
Call your customer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good transition into another hot topic of just like shippers / customers experience right now, other than dancing in the streets because rates are continuing to bounce across the bottom. What else are you seeing from your discussions with our customers or other customers out there, shippers?
You know, I think that we're in a time, and I think we've touched on this in the past because we've really been in this time for a very long, uncomfortably long stretch, but where margins and costs are so thin, right? I mean, costs for carriers are so high, higher than they've ever been. Costs for freight brokers and transportation providers are also high, employee costs, insurance costs, all of those things, right? And it makes, you know, small shifts can create really big impacts, right? And I'm going to go back, like, beat the dead horse of, like, what we at Zipline don't sell is sonar data. What we sell against are the behaviors of our competitors, right? And the value sets of our competitors. And we obviously sell those value sets to people that share them, right? And so to the extent that you're someone who does value service, and of course you're getting it right now because service is falling out of every tree that you drive by, pay attention to what happens when it's just a break week in the softest market in industry history, and you've got trucks not showing up, or you've got people, you know, suddenly blowing turbo. You're suddenly hearing that the guy blew a turbo again. That hasn't happened since 2022. You know, those are the things that I think people really need to focus on, because I've thought a lot about this lately, that like there's this sort of false salve going on for shippers right now, where like everything's easy and you know, you can have, like, we all know, I mean, you know, offline we were just talking about this, that like there are shippers that just objectively do not have their shit together, right? Like they're calling things in last minute, their stuff's not where it's supposed to be,
right?
Their allocation is a mess, they've got ships passing each other in the night, and at the end of the day, like, they're getting away with it
because of
these historically low costs and how much
89,000 extra trucks in the market.
And our place, you know, as a service provider to consumer goods businesses has always been to create flexibility and like dynamism in a place where like there really isn't any, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
your manufacturing is very constrained. It's very scheduled. It's very tight. Your receivers are the most strict receivers in the world, right? They're, you don't have a window. You have a minute that you have to be in a place, right? Thousands of miles away. And, nothing about your business provides you any sort of leeway for a mistake or for a delay. And what we've always been able to do is like create that for people, right? Like make it a team, make it an expedite, put it on a plane, right?
Right.
Put almond flour on a jet. Like these things that we do, they cover up those issues, right? And where they show up, right, is in our monthly meeting when we're like, hey, yeah, you spent, an extra $50,000 this month because you expedited every shipment from this supplier because you weren't, or because they couldn't get it ready fast enough, like whatever the reason is. We covered that for you, but here's where it's showing up. And right now it's not showing up in your budget in the way that you would think it would.
Right. Consistently.
Yeah. And I think the fear I have for folks in our space, for people that aren't our clients today, is that like you have this false comfort and think about how many people are in the seat. Like that's that transportation decision maker seat tends to be like sort of a stepping stone. Right? I mean, people are in that seat until they move up to, supply chain manager. And how many people, it's been 3 years, right? How many people have never even seen a difficult freight market? I mean, how many people are going to have their hair blown back when all of a sudden it's no, or it's, yeah, that's going to cost you like 70 cents a mile more than it did, a month ago.
Yeah.
And have no capacity to like prepare their budget for that or prepare their boss for that or, or get themselves ahead of that, or they just reap the consequence of like, oh God, I just got, massive chargebacks from all of my retail partners because everything I shipped was late because I didn't have the right people in place. And that I think is like what should be keeping people up. I think if you're a retail supplier, like you should be thinking a lot about that right now.
So strategy, partners that have experience, someone who can help you unlock growth. And, as we've talked about before, get your product on the shelf in a timely manner. Efficiently
and transparency. And, like what,
right.
What is your understanding of your pricing model right now? Because we know how many folks are just like, oh, my rates. Well, I fired off to 10 different brokers and whoever comes back to me the cheapest, as long as they've done a good job in the past, they get it. It's like, great. Do you know where that price came from? Right. I mean, what percentage of that is going to the driver? What percent, like you need to understand these things so that you can understand what that person's behavior is going to look like.
If you have a last minute shipment, do you follow that same process? No, I just send it to the guy who did the cheapest one. Cool. What's that price look like?
Right.
Is it quadruple or whatever?
Or I send it to the guy that gets it done every time. It's like, cool. Is that guy taking this opportunity to rake in a month's worth of margin because he's been, waiting? He knows you're going to send this email on Friday night?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, transitions great into some of our offerings, right? Most of our offerings, right? We do have Canopy, which helps our customers, you talk about identifying those spikes in maybe costs. We have identifiers like cost per skid, cost per mile, and that can be drilled down into a lane level, into a shipper level, into a consignee level, which is super, or a retailer level even, which is exciting. So that certainly highlights our retail expertise and, the relationships that we have with those customers who we are meeting with, in some cases daily, but most likely monthly or quarterly, right? To review that, to both look forward and look backward. Hey, this is what happened the last month. This is what happened the last quarter. This is what we're seeing now. Drives those efficiencies and then helps us come up with plans to change, right? And it doesn't need to be a massive turnover, right? We're not right now. We have this capability, but we're not dealing with a lot of people who are like, you know what I want to do? I want to move out of my warehouse and go somewhere else, right? Like that's just not, because things are, like you said, going well for shippers. Yeah. There's not a ton of massive change.
Yeah.
There's some subtle tweaks that we can really dive in and help people with, which is super important at this stage.
Yeah.
I think I've seen some of that change though.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that I'm talking to is over the last quarter, they're seeing issues on the LTL side. So everything that happened with the tariffs, it kind of went into the freight market pretty quickly, but LTL is usually one of those modes that's the last one to get impacted by all these changes. And we're seeing it with XPO charge, you know, a per weight charge for delivering to a grocery retailer, which is any DC in the world, pretty much, other than if you're just a retail store or just a warehouse. I think that becomes a really big problem, and it's based off of weight. So if you're a bag of pretzels, it may not be as bad. If you are canned coffee, it's going to hurt a little bit more.
That's interesting. They did it off weight, not off density?
Off of weight.
Weird.
Yeah, I thought so too. So it can go up to, I think, $1,000 additional charge on a delivery. And that might even be if you drop the delivery versus live unload. It's still kind of working through, but we're seeing those charges. Once you see one carrier do it, more happens. But then you're also seeing it in a slightly sneakier ways, like embargoes, or they add a tax because it's difficult to get through California or whatever they decide. They have their individual tariffs that make that make sense. And I'm seeing a lot of customers, a lot of, you know, just contacts reaching out saying, like, can you explain this to me? Like, it says that it got there the day before the MABD, but they're telling me it was 3 weeks late because it was dropped and it wasn't inbounded until 3 weeks later because you use this carrier who only drops one trailer a month because of the turnaround time. And I think that that makes a really, really big difference in that they're not growing in these retailers. They're always going to stay one pallet. And then when something bigger happens and you don't have the right partner to give you that level of service to explain what happens, you possibly may not be going into that retailer at all anymore.
Yeah.
I think that makes a huge difference is that, again, it's all kind of a domino effect everywhere. But the LTL piece is really starting to come to light, and I think that's a problem. And if you don't have someone to help you charge back, like if you don't know, if your broker doesn't know that he can call the terminal and get the appointment request to fight the charges, please call someone else.
Well, or, I mean, like, you know, don't get in that place in the first place, right? I mean, you know, it's funny. I caught up with our former LTL leader last week, and we were talking about just kind of like reflecting on sort of the days when we built the LTL product here. And, you know, you guys have been here long enough to know, like, we didn't do LTL at all for a long time because we were like, well, there's nothing we can do that's different. It's just sort of like this, you know, it's like kind of a commodity and there's really just kind of nothing you can do. And, you know, Todd was the first one to be like, oh no, there is a way. And it's actually this key thing that you have to keep track of. And like, this is how you can really make a difference. And when we built that out, like, it was such an eye opener for me on, like, more than just on LTL. Like, it was an eye opener for me, I think, about just like how this entire industry works and why it's so dynamic and why it's so difficult for like laymen to step in and own it. Is that, you know, look, Walmart might list, you know, Estes as their preferred provider, you know, at nationwide. That's because Estes gives Walmart the deepest discount.
Right.
And yeah, Estes is great at Walmart. But like, if Estes' business mix changes, if Estes loses their account with Frito-Lay, and now suddenly they're not dropping 30 trailers a day and they're only shop dropping, you know, 18, well, that's going to change the service metrics that you, another supplier, get from Estes. Right. But tracking those dynamics and understanding that, like, there's so much more to it than just like, I got a good relationship with Bill at Estes, because Bill doesn't control those things either. And I, you know, I always like, I can't, I mean, I'm speaking at this FTR thing next week. And I can already hear the brokers being like, well, we've got, you know, our relationships, we're going to be able to hold rates. It's like, dude, no, you're not, because that isn't how it works. Like,
yeah,
that truck's not going to be there anymore, because that truck's not going to take that freight that paid them $1.14 a mile anymore. They're going to take something that's paying them $2.10 a mile. Like, you know, like everything is going
even $1.22 a mile, you know?
Yeah.
A little rate goes a long way.
Yes. Directionally, like, these trucks are not going to be where they are today. And like, that's like kind of the ever shifting sand and like the ground that we stand on. And as shippers just don't have visibility to that. And I think there's so much smoke and mirrors in this space around, you know, just how airtight your relationships are and whether or not those airtight relationships actually impact your access to capacity when and where you need it. And that's why, again, it just goes back to like, it has to be about your relationship with your actual provider, like the person that moves your freight how transparent are they with you? How focused are they on outcomes for you?
Yeah.
And like, what are they motivated by? Right. I mean, it's a big part of why we built all of our incentive programs, all of our compensation programs, all of our career paths around like customer outcomes.
Because well, and it otherwise goes both ways for us, right? That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It's mutually beneficial to our customer partners and it's mutually beneficial to our carrier partners.
Yes.
That's the idea, right? Yeah. And that's the execution that we've had for the last, 19 years.
Yeah. I mean, when we were talking to Diana,
13
it's like,
years.
She's like, well, you know, is it going to be, you know, are the dynamics going to change? And we're like, well, listen, you have allowed us to build you a network.
Yeah.
That has paid fairly and been transparent. And as a result,
consistent.
Like, yes, you are not at risk. Like you are not going, even if this market, you know, pops and turns upside down, like you really don't have a risk because you're building these relationships. We're your proxy in this, you know, we're a conduit, but like at the end of the day, you, the customer have the behaviors that have insulated you from risk and like, you know,
shipper of choice.
Absolutely.
Right. Like, consistent freight, lead time, flexibility when we really need it. Understanding of those weather events that we just talked about.
Yeah.
That's definitely the way to do it. And like you said, fair and balanced. And transparency goes a long way. It's in our value set, communication, all of that stuff. But generally speaking, macro level, we've been yapping away for quite a bit here.
It's easy to.
Market shifting, you think anything's going to shift massively in Q4?
No.
Yeah.
No, no way.
It's hopefully we see some holiday freight. That would be awesome. We will.
Yeah.
Is it going to be on a massive scale? Probably not. Is it going to fill up all the coffers of that 89,000 extra? Probably not. Maybe we'll have a weather event. We'll see. So that's always out there. But generally speaking, a massive, massive change in the market is not coming.
No, I mean, you know, like I'm trying to fast math here that like if a truck can do 250,000 tons of freight in a week and there are 90,000 too many trucks.
That's a lot of freight.
It's a lot of freight that we could absorb right now. It's Friday morning, so I don't have the capacity to do that math in my head. But, you know, we can absorb an enormous amount of freight before things start getting sideways on us. And I just, I don't think, you know, look for customers, you know, I believe and I hope that they're going to have a great holiday season. I do think that that's likely. For freight brokers listening, sorry, it's going to keep on sucking. And for carriers, also very sorry, it's going to keep on, you know, being a slog.
Yeah. Google amount of freight. Did you know that Google is a number?
What?
My 4.5-year-old told me that the other day.
It's an actual number?
Yeah.
How many zeros?
I think it's...
I'm going to have to Google it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ChatGPT that, actually.
Like, Dad, you know Google's number? I'm like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Just Google it.
Just Google it. Google the number, Google.
Google's the number.
I'm not giving Google the pleasure. I'm going to ChatGPT that.
Ooh.
I'm going to bing.
Check us out, next time on the Zip Logistics Truck Yeah podcast. We talk AI.
Not available on
Strap Google. In. With that in mind... Like and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple. Check out the quarterly update blog, ziplinelogistics.com/blog. Andrew Lynch, one of our co-founders. Thanks for joining us. Teddy, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We will see everybody next time on the Zipline Logistics podcast. Thank you.